A slide and then give it to me. Let us pray. O gracious Holy Spirit, shape and bless the humble and human words I speak, and the thoughts, feelings, and responses of those who hear, that this might be a time when we recognize your voice and follow you into life. In Jesus' name, amen. These last few days of miserable, dour, cloudy, rainy weather, feeling more like winter than May, remind me very much of the July I spent in Scotland. We were on the Isle of Iona for the beginning of it, and believe me, that's a tourist photo. We did get one day of sunshine. I don't want to lead entirely the wrong impression, but we did have cold, rainy days and maybe 7-8 degrees. That's one thing we got used to on the island of Iona and throughout northern Scotland in general. I remember at the Scottish Open, the wind was howling, the rain was falling, and it was freezing again. I heard a caddy say to Steve Stricker, an American golfer on the practice green, he said, "How do you like summer?" And he laughed. Well, if we got used to the weather, we also got used to sheep. And in that picture of the abbey on Iona, you can see to the right a herd of sheep nearby. Iona actually is one giant island sheep farm with an ancient abbey in the middle of it. There are more sheep on Iona than there are people. These are some of the Iona sheep. That's another one. They get up to strange places, those sheep. And you go walking, you'll find them in crags and on the top of the mountains and all over places where it's probably dangerous for them to be. But that sheep. Although, to tell you the truth, sheep are much maligned. They're not as dumb as people make them out to be. In fact, in the animal kingdom, sheep are rated as kind of slow monkeys, which puts them kind of up in the area of Einstein in the animal kingdom. They do recognize the voice of their shepherd. And if they seem skittish or foolish and run away a lot in panics, that's because that is a deeply ingrained defense mechanism, and it's the only defense that they had, was to group together and to run away. This is a picture of the golf course. I've shown you this before. We played golf in Iona. There is a golf course that has been there since the turn of the 19th century. And it is literally a sheep pasture. So you're out there hitting your ball and hoping you don't hit the sheep. Fortunately, we didn't hit the sheep. We did hit some of their fertilizer. To get to the golf course and to play the golf course, you encounter a lot of different gates. Where there are sheep, there are sheep gates. You have the swinging gate, which is a basic one, and wherever you pass through a gate like this, there is usually a sign, make sure you shut the gate behind you. And you have stiles. And to get from the 9th to the 10th hole, we had to use a stile to get over a barbed wire fence, and it was a little tricky. But you go up these steps on one side, and you flip your foot over and go down the steps on the other side. And then there is my favorite. It's called the kissing gate. It's really a brilliant kind of construction. Here's a better image of it, a shepherd in Scotland. You can see the sheep behind him. To go through this gate, you have to close it in one side, stand in that little crook there, that top of the V, and then to go through it on the other side, you have to shut it on the other side. Now, I thought it was called the kissing gate because if you tried to go through as a couple, you pretty much had to be married. But actually, it's called a kissing gate because you see, to swing it one way, it has to kiss the post on one side. And then to swing it the other, it has to kiss the post on the other. Those are some of the common gates. And gates around sheep are meant to both protect and guide them. They're there to keep them from getting into even more dangerous places. Although if you travel in Scotland, a lot of their roads are one lane, and often you'll have to stop on that lane because there are sheep in the way. When Jesus spoke and used the imagery of the good shepherd and the gate of the sheep, he was talking to people who knew sheep. Because Israel was one giant sheep farm. And when he spoke of being the good shepherd, he spoke of being something which was of great importance to the welfare of that society. But they didn't understand. He used this imagery right after the healing of the man born blind. We separate this in John's Gospel, the man born blind. Remember, we read that story a few weeks ago. He was sitting by the side of the road, and the disciples asked, "Lord, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus said, "Neither this man nor his parents, but that you might see the glory of God." And he healed him without asking for permission, without that man needing to have any faith. In fact, we find out the man didn't even know who Jesus was, but Jesus healed him. And then began kind of an amazing story of chasing and finding and anger and fear as people tried to figure out what had happened. And the Pharisees put that man who was born blind and now could see up under investigation and said, "Who healed you? Why was he doing this blasphemy?" And that man answered, "You know, how can anyone doing evil do this to me?" I don't know who he was, but one thing I do know, once I was blind, but now I see. And then follows this story where Jesus unpacks what happened by speaking of the Good Shepherd. And as one puts these stories together, you realize he's talking the thieves that come to destroy are anyone who would prevent life from flourishing. And in this case, that role is fulfilled by the Pharisees and the authorities who tried to squelch what had happened to this man. He had regained his sight. It was a wonderful thing, and yet they were more worried about their power and their control than about the healing of this man. And so often in our lives and in our world, we don't look to what is happening, we look to how it impacts our wealth or our control. Do we still have the same status we had before? Jesus says, "You'll recognize the good shepherd because the good shepherd doesn't worry about those things. The good shepherd worries about you and your life and your healing and your flourishing." And he uses that image that they might understand. This is known as the Hermit's Circle on Iona. It's part of our pilgrimage. We make a 7-mile pilgrimage around the isle, and this is nearing the end, and we gather in there and have a prayer together. They speak of it as a mysterious place. They think that it might have been a cell that was built by a hermit going off alone by himself to pray, perhaps even St. Columba. But they aren't quite sure about that because it's too big to be a hermit cell. Well, I could have told them what it was, because I know John chapter 10. This is a sheepfold. And, you know, if you read about the hermit cell online, you'll see, but maybe it was an enclosure for animals, and of course it was. Those sheep are gathered in the evening and put in a place where they may be safely. And that entrance is big enough for one shepherd to lie across. That was done in Palestine. Sheepfolds would be built where there was no gate. There was a scholar on a tour of Palestine who met an Arab sheep farmer who didn't know the Bible and didn't know Jesus. And he showed him, "This is my sheepfold." And the scholar asked him, "Where is your gate?" He said, "I am the gate." He lays across the entrance to protect his sheep. And he is the way they go out and come in. And when they follow him, he takes them out to the best pasture. Now, in Israel, we went to an amazing valley called the Wadi Kelt. And it's a valley that goes from Jerusalem down to the Dead Sea at Jericho. And it is a deep and dark and winding route that has been used by armies and by bandits and by pilgrims for millennia. And there you see at the bottom of the valley on the left side of that picture, if you can make it out, the monastery of St. George's. They built it down there in the valley, and we went down to that Orthodox monastery, and from there we did a hike down to the Dead Sea. It's very hot. It's about 4 kilometers. It took 90 minutes. And it's a dark and winding road. I don't know if you can make it out, but on the top left, you might see a lighter path near the top of the mountain. That's the path we took. It winds around. And in below, you see what is a dry riverbed. And I asked our guide, "Didn't anybody ever just go up that riverbed because it was level and easy?" And he said, "No, because you can get flash floods there at any time." So a shepherd would take that route. And it is believed that this is the valley where the event of the Good Samaritan took place. The man who was going up to Jerusalem, who was beaten by robbers and left for dead. This is also thought to be the valley which inspired David's 23rd Psalm. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of deepest darkness, the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And beautifully in that valley, we saw a shepherd and a herd of sheep. It's important to know that when you're hearing that psalm, that psalm has given comfort to people for millennia. I read it again this past Monday at Stephen LeMessurier's funeral service. That psalm, which gives us rest, is really about a journey. It's about being taken forward in life. That's why I think it's important to hear the correct translation of the Hebrew word radav in it, and I got it out of the Jewish Bible, the Tanakh. "Only goodness and mercy shall pursue me all the days of my life." Goodness and mercy don't just follow meekly 10 feet behind you. They're after you. They're trying to track you down. And they're chasing you because they want you to walk forward through the valleys. Jesus takes you beside the still waters to get a drink in that hot valley to keep you going on the way, to keep you going into God's presence every day of your life and forever. The journey of this good shepherd is not always a journey of joy, but it is a journey of life. And I shouldn't say that, because it is a journey of joy, but joy in the fullest sense of that term, not in a superficial happiness, but in the deep reality of the meaning and fullness of life. The trouble with us today, and we have many, is that we follow so many false shepherds. There are so many voices that attract us and make us think we are following life. The voice of consumer items and material wealth, the voice of pornography. I don't know if you saw the story last month in March, Japan, where they have, and in North America, we have a real problem with pornography because of the accessibility through the internet. There was a Japanese man found dead in his apartment, surrounded by a vast collection of pornography. He had been dead for 6 months. You see, pornography is a false relationship. You pursue it as if you're having some kind of really dynamic interrelation, and you're not. It's a lie. And this man was caught up in this lie, and he died alone, and it was 6 months before anyone found him. And in the sad irony of the thing, no one smelt him because that pornography collection absorbed his bodily fluids as it absorbed his living life. And they could not smell him. At the Washington Correspondents' Banquet, one of the speakers was talking about the freedom of the press, which is a little bit under threat in the United States these days because of all the accusations of the large media because of fake news, those false voices. And I thought he had a great insight. He said, you know, right now the press has a real challenge because there is a difference between trust and truth. And while the mass media or the news media may be seeking to tell the truth, they have lost the trust of the American people. That notion of fake news and the lying media has somehow gained a purchase with a large part of the population. And he said, the task of the media today, and we have this task, is to regain the trust of the American people, to establish what truly is the fake news and what is the truth, that people may be led into life. Do you want to know what the truth looks like? It looks like Jesus. He is the gate. He is the good shepherd. Learn to know his voice and follow him. Someone who did was named Ann Moody. She died a couple of years ago. I don't know if you know her name. It was in May of 1963 that she went through a dark valley. There she is sitting at the counter in the Woolworths in Jackson, Mississippi. It was a sit-in. Of course, at that time, blacks were not served at that lunch counter in Jackson, Mississippi. But it had just been made legal that sit-ins were legal, and so she and a number of friends from a local university went and sat at the counter. And there they did just as 1 Peter 2 said we are to do. They took all kinds of abuse and did not respond with abuse. If you can see in the picture, they are having sugar poured on them and ketchup and mustard and jam, and they are being screamed at. When they began to pray, that seemed to set the crowd into a bigger frenzy, and they pulled one of the young men off his stool and beat him unconscious. And they pulled the women's hair and threw them against the wall. But they did not respond with abuse or with fists. They took their seats again. They followed their good shepherd. If you want to know what life looks like, if you want to know what green grass looks like, it looks like that counter in Jackson, Mississippi, where people walk into the darkest valleys and they love their neighbors. Where are the gates in your life? What are the false voices that are trying to keep you from life? What are the false voices that we may be following today that are helping us to prevent others from being healed and being loved and being brought into the fullness of our community? Remember and learn the voice of the one who loves you and follow him. He is the gate. There is a church, and I wanted to find this image. I could not find it again, but it's a wonderful church in the States, and outside they have an awning to their front door, and over that awning it says, Servant's Entrance. I love that truth. And as we come into this place following our Good Shepherd, we follow the way of the servant to life. And there are green pastures ahead. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, help us to hear your voice and follow. Help us to pass through those gates and barriers that would seek to keep us from life. Help us to tear down the gates and barriers that would seek to keep our neighbors from life. And let us follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us come together now as a family in prayer. Our response pattern is printed in your order of service toward the bottom of the fourth page. Let us pray.